roll call, Virginia.
Vice President Chung?
Here.
Member Fay? Member Kobus? Member May?
Here.
Member McCluskey?
Here.
Member Rotroff?
Here.
President Qualcheck?
Here. Okay, we can start our communications. Is there an NSSU report?
Yes. So on August 7th, I attended the NSSU meeting. As I always do, I talk about the shining star for that was honored during that meeting. This meeting, they honored the maintenance and janitorial staff, which was unique. For all the hard work getting on school ready for the school district, first day of school, and also for completing the process of reprogramming the minor and
Kirk.
Kirk. Because now Kirk is going to be handling all high school students essentially and transition students, and minor will be handling.
So they flipped?
Yes. Well, before it was just mixed.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. That was a big undertaking. In this meeting was Dr. Brad Carter's first meeting. He's the new HR director. Okay. And related to that, NSSEO is having a difficult time finding filling positions for teacher aides. It's been very challenging, so they are amenable to flexible schedules. So if you know anyone that is interested in a teacher's aide position, they are open to attended to schedules. So I think that is an interesting development. At this meeting, we had a closed session to evaluate Dr. Hackett. Talked about the new park they're building at Niner. I've mentioned this before, they got a $410,000 grant. It's going to be an accessible park and an inclusive park. Some of the challenges when you have an accessible park is it's not necessarily inclusive for all children who are in the park. So, well, maybe someone is in a wheelchair, they can get up a ramp, but then there's really nothing for them to do. So they're going to make sure this is a very inclusive park. For example, they're going to have a soccer field for kids in wheelchairs. It's really inclusive. And some other things they're going to install. Their goal is to have it completed this fall. That's assuming the weather stays good and it's warm and we have a long fall. That's about it. The next meeting is September 3rd, which is a Tuesday. It starts at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Ed Foundation? Nothing. Okay. Any PTO reports? Okay. Board President report. We have a scheduled meeting for September 5th for the self-evaluation meeting for us, and Rachel cannot make that meeting because of a school thing in her district. Her parent and I, she cannot get out of. So Elaine, Dr. Allmiller was able to reach out to Dee in order to see if we could change it. And she said October 3rd was available. If that is okay for everybody, because I think it would be very beneficial since Rachel is new to be able to do this. Jen texted me today, said she couldn't be here, so I did ask her. And she said it was okay with her to move it to October 3rd. I'm hoping it's good for Kim when she comes.
It's fine for me.
It's fine for you?
I apologize for that.
No, I mean, it happens.
I would miss if I could.
Seems fine for me.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Jerry?
I was just double checking, but it looks okay.
Okay. Well, let's hope it's good with Kim. Because we're going to be in the same boat, but.
What, 7 o'clock?
Six.
Six
o'clock.
So we'll wait till she comes and we'll ask her about it at the end.
Okay,
and
then that'd be fine.
Okay. Also, if I don't know if you guys have checked your emails, and it's also in the packet with the Ed Red has, and it's in our board packet that Ed Red had, whatchamacallit, for September 19th, September 19th, there's a luncheon at Cafe Le Cove. It's 12 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys, anybody is able to go, that would be great. They also have little seminar things, and actually, it is on the 5th of September, and if we move our other thing, it's easier for us to do, and I believe it's 4 to 5 or 7 to 8, and the I can get the address for you, but it's like Ed Red 101, or knowing what Ed Red does as an organization. And if you're interested in that, that would be a great thing to kind of maybe go to. And it's since it's 7 to 8 or even 4 to 5, whatever might be best for you for a schedule, if you guys could do that, that'd be great. And just let Virginia know so she can have you registered.
Mm.
You can't do September 5th. Okay. And also we met with MPEA earlier in the month. Rachel and I met with them. And it was Elizabeth Tracek, who's here. And she said they would like to also come to our meetings. Loretta Rose, co-presidents, Lisa Loeffler, treasurer, Diana Rush is the secretary. And the main takeaway was having more interaction with the board and the school district, teacher, students as a whole. And I had sent out an email regarding a board member day. And Vicki and Rachel have already set up or arranging to set up a date to go visit Lincoln. And also the MPA meeting that we did have, they would like to have maybe two or three more of those throughout the year. So, groups of us can, Vicki and Brian could go next time, or Jerry and Kim could go next time, and Jen. So, everybody can meet up and, have a meeting and see what's going on and where we're all at. So I thought it was a great meeting. And I believe that is it for my board president report. All right, next up. Community comments. Anybody? All right. Next, we have the. Oh no, I got the wrong one. There I am. I'm like, I grabbed the wrong folder. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. Next is staff reports. The 2019-20 tentative budget.
Good evening. This is the second part or second phase of the budgeting process in interaction with the board. Back in July, I came before you and presented the budget assumptions. Then we took those assumptions and plugged all the information into Skyward, adjusted some revenues and expenditures, and then pushed that out into the state form. This is the official, this is the tentative budget form. And just going to go over some highlights, and then I'll leave it open for some questions. I do want to just reiterate the idea that this is a tentative budget. There are always changes between the tentative and official. So at this time, the aggregate fund balance is looking to increase by a little over $240,000. The operating budget is looking to increase by about $4.5 million. Keep in mind that operating budget does not take into consideration any of those construction or capital expenditures. So when you're looking at revenues over expenditures, that $240,000 number is a truer indicator of the budget as a whole. Also in your packet, you will see several exhibits which give further breakdown of revenue by source and then expenditures in two different categories, one in a form of a function and one in the form of an object. And then your revenue reports and your expenditure reports are very similar to what we see each month in the financial reports. And then you have a copy of the entire budget in your packets. What will happen from here is a notice is published in the Journal and Topics. The budget will be put on display. It will be put on the website so people can view it. They have an opportunity to come in and ask any questions between now and the September board meeting. And then the night of the September board meeting, there will be a public hearing. I will come forward and give a more detailed presentation of not only the high level, but also some details. And then the board will approve that budget at the time. And then that will be sent to the Board of Education, or the Regional Office of Education, Illinois State Board of Education, post on the website, all the particular filings. So at this time, if you have any specific questions related to the tentative budget, I would be more than happy to answer those.
Go ahead.
So I have two questions in particular. The drop in revenue between the 2 years? I think there was, sometimes we're conservative, but I think there was a more specific difference from last year. We had gotten some incremental revenue in last year's budget versus what we have.
The biggest difference in the revenue as a whole from FY19 to FY20 is the property tax revenue. Due to the way that Cook County collects taxes with the 55%, 45%, a large portion of the referendum from the December 2018 levy was realized last year, and now those dollars have kind of decreased. And then now what will happen from this moment forward, or from this year forward, is they will slowly increase. But when you take a look at the property tax revenue from last year as opposed to this year, there is a decent amount of decrease, but that goes to the Cook County level levying system and the way that they unevenly collect the revenue. So the process will start right away. I have my meeting Monday morning with the architects where we will begin to take a look at the facility plan and start to plan for next year. Some of the things I know off the top of our head that we'll be taking a look at is first the parking lot over at Lions Park with the portion being delayed. Because of the acquisition of the house, and now that we've acquired the house, demolished the house, being able to replace the parking lot with some sort of expansion, that is definitely on the docket. Fairview was up to be expanded and resurfaced next year. So with the addition of the classrooms and the multipurpose room, kind of changing the footprint here, we're taking a look at not only rebuilding the parking lot, because like Lions Park and Fairview, it's the original parking lot from 1995-96, but with the changing of the footprint of the space, we're looking to change the footprint of the parking lot. The third thing to take into consideration is over at Westbrook, if you remember, we put in mobile classrooms 3 years ago. We signed a three-year lease. This is the third year of a three-year lease. Westbrook also is an area that, you know, was struggling for space. And now that those students and those staff members have been able to enjoy that space, to be able to take that space away would be, you know, it would be a very, very difficult thing to do. So we'll entertain the option of purchasing that mobile, leaving the mobile classroom where it is, and then talking to the architects and the construction company about the possibility of encapsulating it with the building to make it a more permanent structure within you know, budgetary constraints. So those are the three different areas that I'm beginning with. But then, as I mentioned earlier, we'll be going back to the master facility plan and start to take a look at the projects and try to group those together in a way that makes the most sense. With that, we've been monitoring the enrollment levels. Dr. Allmiller will be taking a look at that a little bit later. Monitoring the enrollment levels at Lyons Park. At this point, it looks like the levels are still within reason. So it doesn't look like we would be expanding Lyons Park in the summer of 2020. However, as I've talked about and we've talked about as a board, the possibility of Lyons Park expansion in 2021 or further down the road, I think is definitely in the plans. So those would be the big projects that come to mind that encompass that $4 million. Not necessarily. It's just when we went for the referendum and we listed out all the deferred maintenance and all the capital improvements that need to be done, there is still a lot of work to be done. And so even though this year a lot of what we did was here at Fairview, we were able to accomplish some of those projects at Lincoln and at Lyons Park and the playground at Westbrook was a minor project, but there are still a lot of things related to mechanical equipment, flooring, HVAC controls, those type of things that we've been putting off for a number of years that now we should be able to start to chip away at. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then tonight we're looking at a balanced budget with a surplus of that $240,000. So I just wanted to say thank you to Dr. Allmiller, Adam, and all your team. I know you must have, you know, poured through this budget to look where you mm-hmm. can trim down, where you can, you know, maybe hold off some things for next year. So thank you, because I think as a board,
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we really wanted to see that balanced budget. So thank you for all your work in making it. My second question, I just wanted to clarify what I think is a misunderstanding among some District 57 parents who believe that our district makes a profit from bus ridership. So I'm just going to confirm some information that Dr. Allmiller shared. In case anyone's listening to the podcast, they can hear this. So our FY20 transportation costs are budgeted at approximately $733,000.
Mm-hmm.
Parent fees account for about $305,000 of that, and the state reimburses us at $73,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a projected transportation deficit of about $355,000, which our district is responsible for. So essentially, almost half of the transportation costs are not covered by parent fees for state funds. So, so it's very clear we are not making any sort of profit whatsoever. And I know, you know, as a former bus rider, I mean, those fees are very high.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the district, you know, about half of those costs are still not covered by state funds or by parent fees.
Correct. And, also during the referendum process, the other percentage that we chose to address was that transportation shortfall. So when we received some referendum funds and we were able to take a look at the levy, we were able to adjust the levy in a way that move some of those property taxes over to the transportation fund so that we can try as best as we can to balance that transportation fund. We didn't want to start running a deficit in the fund where we were using fund balance to balance the transportation fund as a whole.
Adam, when do we have to make a decision about the mobile unit at Westbrook? Is it going to extend the lease?
We would, technically our lease is not up until the end of the year, until June 30th, but I would, when I come to the board in October and present the summer construction projects, I'll begin engaging the board in those conversations. And then as long as we're all on the same page, I would begin in engaging the company that we lease the mobile from with the idea of purchasing it.
So there's no deadline prior to the expiration of the lease to make it?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It may be to the district's financial advantage to make that purchase sooner, but as soon as we start having that, we agree that that's the direction that we want to move in, and we start taking a look at the cost of, you know, like, let's say, for example, we're paying a lease. The lease is just under $1,500 a month. So if we're looking at the lease, you know, from January to June, and we work with the company to say, okay, if we purchase it outright in June as opposed to purchase it outright in January as opposed to June, there's some cost savings for the district, then I would highly recommend moving that forward as opposed to waiting until the lease is up.
If we decided not to extend the lease and we decided not to purchase the unit, would we bear the cost to remove the unit?
Yes. And then with that, just something to remember.
And do you know what the cost would be approximately?
I don't off the top of my head. However, something to remember, when we were installing the mobile units, there was a considerable amount of construction costs spent on preparing the ground, running the utilities to the mobile, building the canopy to be able to keep those kids. And at the time, those conversations were about safety and the idea of what the mobiles were 2 years ago versus 15 years ago. So the district expended more than $200,000 in the construction of the area around that mobile classroom. So that's why I would highly recommend not just, if we were at a point where Westbrook was declining enrollment, we didn't need the space, we could move those mobiles away, but knowing that that isn't the case, Westbrook is benefiting from that space very much so, I would highly recommend moving along with the purchase and then starting the conversation with the architects with, okay, with purchasing that, what can we, there are many different models that you could utilize where you could, with some concrete work, either on the bottom, even maybe something with the front end of the canopy with one of the doors, to make that appear more like a permanent structure than it is right now.
And then the walkway would have to be modified?
Possibly. That would definitely be part of the conversation.
Adam, what's the predicted lifespan of the mobile units? Like, can they be there indefinitely, or
they can be there for a considerable amount of time. Mobile units, for those of you that have been in the mobile classrooms, it looks very similar to a regular classroom. So thinking that, you know, we have buildings that have been in existence for 60 years, I would definitely see a reasonable, you know, 20, 25, 30-year lifespan out of the two mobile classrooms. Mobile classrooms were in very good shape when we got them. The leasing company has been maintaining them to this point. So at the end of our lease with the purchase, we would begin to maintain them in the same way that we would maintain our other buildings.
I had one question about textbook income. I saw this and I was curious as to what it was. It was $264,000.
That is curriculum fees. That is other indicated on the state budget form.
Thank you very much. Now I know what that is. Okay, everything looks great. And thank you for our surplus. And are you going to discuss the bond at all tonight, or is that a different night you're doing the bond?
I was not going to, but once we get, I can discuss that later if you'd like. Okay.
I think it's a positive note.
Sure.
Why don't you just do it
Yeah.
now?
Okay. Okay. So we came before the board in June, and we talked about the bond refunding, and so the bond sale was on Tuesday, and if you remember when we completed the bond sale, or when we were given the bond sale projections back in June. They were talking about the 10-year savings at somewhere at approximately $321,000. Well, as you know, since June, the Fed has dropped the interest rate 0.25 point. The economy has, you know, not not fallen, but there's been some nerves throughout the economy. So the bond market has changed dramatically, and District 57 was able to take advantage of that. So what initially was looking like a $321,000 savings over 10 years is now looking more like $565,000 savings, a massive difference. So we came in at a good time, and we're able to close at the right time. Eileen, as board president, had to come by Tuesday and sign the paperwork, and is continuing signing many more pages of paperwork. But the timing of the bond sale was very beneficial to the school district.
Well, thank you. I thought that was good news.
Maybe for one thing.
All right, we won't go into that.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, now we're up to superintendent report.
Yeah, I have three items. First of all, in your board packet was a update of the tentative staffing plan, showing what you approved as preliminary back in February to where we are at the startup of school. And for the first time in my 11 years here, we actually went down in our FTE, which knocked me off my seat when I saw it. It was reflective of instructional assistant positions that we had for the large classroom assistants that we did not need. To that end, we didn't need them because we did open a section of second grade here at Fairview. And you can see on the enrollment page that our numbers are all very consistent across the board, so it looks real even this year. Also on the staffing plan, I just wanted to point out we did request taking our custodial position that's at the admin building and make it from part-time to full-time. Mm-hmm. We've got a really decent gentleman that is well worth the investment of making him full-time. He's saving us on some contracted work.
So he will decrease some of our outsourcing.
Yes.
Significantly.
Mm-hmm. Significantly.
It's worth it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
In fact, all of the work that's been done over at administration has been done by him.
Oh, wow.
So where that would have been contracted out, he's been doing that, and he's been doing it on part-time hours. So
that's great.
So are there any questions about the preliminary staffing plan at this point?
Thank you, Dr. Allmiller. I had a comment. I just wanted to point out, I know you just mentioned that you added the section here at Fairview because I think you had mentioned recently that the class sizes were approaching 27.
Yes.
And, you know, so you decided to add the section. And I just wanted to thank you for that. It reminded me of the board discussions that we had a few months ago when we were revising the policy on sectioning. And I mean, I can't speak for the whole board, especially Kim and Rachel, who were not on the board at that time, but I think there was a general consensus that 27 students in a class at the beginning of August was too high. So I just want to thank you for, seeing that on your own and proactively adding that section. I mean, it's exactly the kind of thing that we had talked about at the meeting, so thank you for...
Well, I appreciate the language that the board remained intact in the policy because it did give me the latitude to do that.
Especially second grade. I mean, you can't have 27 in
yeah.
second grade. So that looks great.
Any question on the enrollment numbers? The enrollment study will come out at the September 26th meeting.
I just had a curiosity question. I noticed that the numbers in Westbrook had seemed to be the largest increases from the fall enrollment to the spring enrollment. Or at least, I'm sorry, from the fall 2018 to the spring 2019. And I just wondered, is that typical that Westbrook sees the largest jump in enrollment?
For first grade?
Yes, for both kindergarten and first. So kindergarten went up 8 over the course of the year,
oh.
And first grade went up 5. Am I reading that correctly?
From fall to spring,
yeah, so over the course of the
year?
School year.
Oh, is that typical? Correct. Yeah, there was nothing unusual about the numbers that jumped out at me.
Okay.
I've got Mary sitting here. Mary wants to make a comment about the enrollment. And the enrollment study will have that data for transfers in and transfers out.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a FOIA to report. Per requirements of Open Meetings Act and Freedom of Information Act, one FOIA request to report. We received a request on August 7th from Ronak McFadden. She asked for information on the Accelerated Language Arts Program for 8th grade students. We responded on August 9th and provided her that information. And there's one other item that's not in your board packet but has since come up that I want to make the board aware of, and it involves a data breach that we have experienced, and I'm going to have Trevor explain it to you and what we're doing in the process.
Good evening. Last month, Pearson, a software vendor, announced a student data breach of information provided by users of AIMSWeb 1.0, which included District 57. In November 2018, Pearson's AIMSWeb 1.0 platform was breached, resulting in the unauthorized disclosure of student information. Pearson was alerted to the breach in March of 2019 and began notifying affected school districts in July 2019. We did not find out until earlier this month. Pearson has informed us that with respect to our students, the breach allowed access to certain students' first and last names and student ID numbers. The identity of the breaching party remains unknown. We have no reason to believe student assessment or other private data was accessed during the breach. Point of note, we only share student first and last names and student ID numbers with Pearson. We're working with Pearson to ensure there was no additional information. We have since discontinued using AIMSWeb. Unrelated matter, but we have moved on to another company, and Pearson has even discontinued AIMSWeb 1.0. And Pearson's working with law enforcement. We will be sending out an email to those affected families in the coming days with information. Pearson's offering a free complimentary year of credit monitoring services from Experian, and we'll be sending out instructions for signing up for that. Again, it was only first and last names and student ID numbers, which are internal numbers which don't have any identifying numbers in them. So if you have any questions.
Was it any so you said you're going to be sending out an email to people affected. So is it only certain students that were affected? Was it the whole enrollment or just?
It was 3,000 students going back a few years. So we had to first identify those email addresses that go with it. We only received the student names and their ID numbers. And so some of them are, you know, graduated.
Right.
And so that took a while, and we're finally finalizing that process. But once we parsed through their data, it went under 3,000, more like closer to 2,000, because they had a lot of duplicate names in there.
Okay, thank you.
That concludes the superintendent's report.
Okay. We have the consent agenda and minutes of the board meeting. I got a question. Were we all here for the last meeting?
I was not here.
You were not here either?
Harry and Rachel.
Well, let's see. So then if I can get someone to, is there anything that anybody wants to pull from the consent agenda at all? Okay. And Rachel, also, you did the bills?
Correct.
And everything?
Everything looks good.
Okay. Yep. All right, so we'll just do number one first, if I can get a motion for the minutes.
Motion to approve number one on the consent agenda, minutes of the following Board of Education meeting. Regular meeting, business meeting, July 18, 2019, open session.
Second.
Vicki.
Vice President Chung?
Yes.
Member Fay?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member McCluskey?
Abstain.
Member Rotroff?
Abstain.
President Kowalczyk?
Yes. Okay, and if I can get a motion then for the rest of the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the following items. Consent agenda number two, personnel transactions, approve and employment of 4 certified individuals, approve change in status of 1 certified employee, accept resignations of 2 certified employees, approve change in status of 2 ESP employees, accept resignations of 4 ESP employees. Number 3, the financial reports from July 2019. And number 4, accounts payable bills.
Second.
Member Fay?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
Member Rochoff?
Yes.
Vice President Chung?
Yes.
President Kowalczyk?
Yes. Okay, we do not have any unfinished business. Any community comments? No one? All right. New business, approval of the 2019-2020 tentative budget, which we already went over. So do we just need a...
Just a motion.
Just a motion, yeah. Okay. A motion to approve the tentative budget.
Motion to approve the 2019-2020 tentative budget.
Second.
Member May?
Yes.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
Member Rochoff?
Yes.
Vice President Chung?
Yes.
Member Fay?
Yes.
President Kowalczyk?
Yes. Okay, and our board discussion will be video production of Board of Ed meetings. Trevor will be.
Well, as you can see from the memo, I provided two options, largely based on scenarios that I found in my research of other school districts. I will say that there are not many school districts in the area who do this, and the vast majority of them are high school or consolidated districts with large amounts of resources. At this point, I'll just entertain any questions you have.
Does anybody have any questions regarding the two options? Does anybody have a feeling on what they'd want, what they, or even if they do want it? Yeah, if you
I'm
want
little,
it or don't
I'm
want
a little
it.
Surprised at the cost. And my initial impression is it's not something that so, you know, dire at this point that we, people are clamoring and you know, people are outraged that we're not doing this. I just don't see a need at this point given the cost. Open to other views.
Yeah. I was unaware of some of the stipulations through the Americans with Disabilities Act. Mm-hmm. And for me, in addition to the cost, I think those requirements would make it prohibitive for us to do it at this time anyway.
As much as we might think it's a great idea, it's possible that the community members would not take advantage of it, right? So would it be possible, since we're doing that community or district-wide survey, to add this topic to it, where, I mean, we don't have to go into a lot of detail, sort of, but laying out the cost and then asking parents, you know, if the district offered this at this cost, you know, would you, do you think it's worth it? Would you participate? You know, would you watch the videos? And it's likely parents might say, you know, no, it's too expensive, or, you know, even if you did have those videos, I wouldn't watch it anyway. I mean, maybe everyone would say, like, yes, yes, please, and then we'd have a more serious discussion about it, but, yeah,
that's certainly your prerogative. I will say that since I wrote the memo and looking at this new space, this is not really conducive. I'm not even sure where I'd put cameras. I'd have to put them all the way back there or right here, and then we'd just get the tops of your heads. I will say all the districts I found that do this have large admin buildings with boardrooms that are for board meetings and have the cameras built in, and microphones built into the desks, and so they have the facilities that are conducive to recording. It's not a a setup in a spot where there's lunch, and sometimes they actually use this venue for gym. So any cameras that we put in would be subject to getting knocked around. So that's just another piece of the puzzle, another consideration. But if the community and the boards feel strongly, we'll move forward.
I kind of agree with you guys that the cost effective and the fact that really no small elementary school districts really do this at all. And I think if there was a real need and want for it, I mean, I might be willing to consider it, but I honestly don't think we should really consider it at this point.
And I agree, and I think if there was a need, I think it would be less costly to rent the village space, right? I think at some point that was something we considered.
You mean move the meetings over there?
Right.
Oh, I hadn't considered that, but
I thought we at some point thought that that could be an option if we wanted it recorded live, and but we'd have to pay the village.
Right.
It seems to me that would be less costly than these options, but I don't know.
Kind of tagging along with what Vicki had said, I wonder if in the survey it would be interesting to ask, I don't know if we have any data about how our residents prefer, or how our residents currently receive information from us.
A whole section on communication.
Okay, or how they would prefer to receive it.
And it's longitudinal from prior administrations of the survey.
And what do we find, what have we found up until now? What methods of communication are preferred? Because we know it's not the podcast.
Email.
Okay. Direct email.
Superintendent's message.
Okay.
The Friday newsletters from the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Social media.
Okay.
So those are the big ones.
Okay. Because I think your follow-up emails for the past few board meetings, I think have been very effective in informing people that perhaps don't watch the podcast or don't listen to the podcast, but want to know the main things that happen. I think that's been very effective. I think Adam's video today with the construction, I think that's very effective, for if our goal is, communication. I think that those other methods perhaps are more cost effective and communicate what we're hoping to say. So, thank you.
I would agree.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have any comments? So we can all decide that we're going to table this and for another day, possibly.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And?
Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor.
Thank you. All right. We have need for closed session for the purpose of collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees. Board action will not take place following closed session. So, I need a motion to go into closed session. Is that it? Motion to go into closed session?
Motion to go into closed session.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
Member Rochard?
Yes.
Vice President Chung?
Yes.
Member Fay?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
President Kowalczyk?
Yes.
And it will be over at the admin building.